As all of you know, I'm always very happy to be here in this section of the country. You know, when I first came into AA some 14 and a half years ago, I was the only priest member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so whenever I went to a group in throughout the country, we always had huge crowds. You know why? They wanted to see what an alcoholic priest looked like. Now once again, we're having huge crowds. Because they want to know now what I'm going to say about anonymity. I'm not going to waste any time with preliminaries of stale jokes, which most of you have heard. But there's one story that was brought to my attention recently, which I think is worth the telling. And it brings out how still the average person in this world thinks that an alcoholic is the worst possible person in the world. You know, I was raised with that conviction myself. But anyhow, it seems that one time a young lady wrote a letter to, well, we'll say Dr. Crane. He's as good as anybody. He's one of these advisory gentlemen in the press. And she says, "Dear Dr. Crane, I have a problem." She says, "I have a fiancé whom I love very much, and we plan to get married. The only difficulty is that my little sister is an alcoholic. My two oldest sisters are in the insane asylum. My mother was a prostitute before she married Dad. And I have an older brother who was electrocuted for murder." Now she says, "What I want to know, Dr. Crane, should I tell my fiancé that my little sister is an alcoholic?" So the question I know in many of your minds tonight is, what was the story behind the story of my own life, as it was published recently in the Look magazine and also still more recently in the book Prodigal Shepherd? Now I give this explanation not so much for my friends nor for my enemies. Because my friends don't ask it, and my enemies won't believe it. But I give that to many, many who are not personally acquainted with me, and who still sincerely would like to know the why behind my writing the story as I did. Now, I could, being an alcoholic, give you 1,000 excuses. I could manufacture them by the carload. But I'll try to give you the real, honest-to-God reason. And let's first go back and see just how all this came about. Some people have the idea that when you write a story, you suddenly sit down, you write it out, and you publish it. Just like that. It doesn't happen that way. Actually, in my case, this has simply come about in Providence over the period of the last, I would say, 6 or 7 years. During those years, many people have asked me to write my story, both in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous. Particularly would professional people insist. And the reason they gave was, you owe it to share with people who don't know that which was given to you by Almighty God through Alcoholics Anonymous. But I still put it off. Now, I won't say I put it off because I didn't want to break my anonymity. I'll be very frank with you. I put it off because I was too lazy. That's true. I couldn't see myself sitting down and writing out in detail my own life story for anybody. So I would give them excuses. 3 years ago, a very close friend of mine, member of AA for many years in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, asked me again, why don't you write your story? And I said, look, I haven't got the time to write it. Well, she said, I will get you a professional writer. Well, I said, well, I don't know. She said, well, we at least meet with this person. I agreed to do so. So I met with this professional writer. We talked over all my writings and how long I had been in AA and so forth and so on. And that was the end of it. Nothing came of it. And I was just as happy. 1 year ago, last month in April, at a meeting of priests in Cincinnati, Ohio, and we were meeting to discuss the alcoholic problem, particularly in the aspect of the help that Alcoholics Anonymous could offer, Bishop Raring from Toledo, Ohio, made the remark. He said, if there's one thing that the outsider, and he meant by that those outside of AA, can justifiably criticize you people for, it is that you have not let the average person in the street know what you have as a solution to the alcoholic problem. And he says, whether we like it or not, the average person today does not know the answer that you have. Many know about AA, but very, very few people understand it. And then he made the remark, what we need is a book. A book that will be read by the people in the street. A book will be read by every family so that each family will know there is an answer. Not a book to be put on the library shelf for reference, but a book that will be interesting to the average person. Again, that remark didn't influence me one way or another. This was on a Thursday. Monday morning, I get a call from the editor of the Lippincott Publishing Company, asking me whether I would be interested in writing my life story. Again, I gave him the usual arguments. I have no time. I have no aptitude. I said, after all, I have only written instructive writings. I have never written narrative writing. And then I said, furthermore, I would never consider doing that without the permission of the Archbishop. Well, he said, will you see if he would give his permission? I said, well, okay, I will ask him. A month passed. Once more, the editor called me and said, have you seen the bishop? I said, I'm going down in the morning. Well, I did. And I talked about everything else under the sun. And then I finally said, by the way, the Lippincott Publishing Company, who are a very high-class company, wants to publish my life story. And of course, they would not do it, nor would I permit them to do it without your permission. He thought a moment. He said, well, go ahead and tell them to publish it. Well, I said, of course, Your Excellency, they would like to have it in writing. Well, he said, that's okay. Go ahead and write it out. And I'll sign it. So the permission was granted. Then I called Lippincott Company, told them, I said, still, I don't see that I should write it. Now, I had two very good reasons for that. One definitely was the time element, because no matter what happens from this book, I am not going to change my way of living. I'm going around as I have been for the last 11 years, and I hope to do that until the day I die, and so far that I am physically able to do so. And I said, furthermore, I don't believe anyone can be objectively honest about themselves unless you're a saint, and I ain't a saint. Well, he said, we will get a writer for you. So he suggested three writers, one of whom was Al Hirschberg. He says, of course, he's not a Catholic, he's Jewish. Well, I said, that would be fine. I'm a Catholic priest, he's Jewish, and you are a Quaker Publishing Company. That should fit right in. So I went to New York City to meet this Al Hirschberg, who is supposed to be a very fine writer and is a very competent writer. And then the writing of the story began. Now, again, contrary to popular opinion, you just don't give him a few facts and he writes on that. He sits you down day after day with the tape recorder turned on. And he doesn't ask you what you did. You tell him what you did, and he says, what did you say, what did he say, what you wear, what did they wear, what time was it, and was it raining, or was it a clear day? And this goes on for week after week. Then that is transcribed, and from that, he writes the story. Then the question came about whether I should use my own name or not. I contacted some very good friends of mine in the professional world, for example, Dr. Carl Menninger of Topeka, Kansas, and several others in the psychiatric and medical field. I also contacted several members of the hierarchy, bishops, friends of mine, and unanimously they said, and I quote one of them, anonymity would absolutely be weak and flat and would not get across to the people. I still didn't make a decision on it. I gave the manuscript to read to 25 members of Alcoholics Anonymous in various parts of the country. I was traveling at that time. And most of these men were dry or in AA sober above at least 5 years. And all but one urged me to use my own name for the same reason, because otherwise it would not be publicized as well and be picked up by the average person and read, nor would it be digested as well. Then finally, I decided to use my own name. And at the same time, I got a letter from one of these members of Alcoholics Anonymous, a friend of mine who has been sober for about 17 years. And this is his what he wrote me. Quote, "Yes, Father, you're in for a rough time on the publication of your book. But if you are right in your own heart and soul concerning it, if you truly believe your motives are good, well then you can take anything. These are matters which each man must fight out in the citadel of his own soul. Criticism is the price that the bold must pay to the timid and the mediocre. When are we ever going to acquire sufficient maturity to disagree with a man in a particular instance without questioning his motives? When are we going to gain the stature that will enable us to frankly hold diametrically opposed positions with a man in a given situation without wishing to retaliate and to hurt him? But alas, as well you know, many of the unthinking brethren are stampeded into violent opposition by the fanatical cries of zealots. It should seem that AA would be the ideal soil for us to learn this, but for some reason we have not learned this lesson." Unquote. Then there was one more person involved, and that was my archbishop. He's my superior under God. And I went to him, and he says, "I always wondered why you didn't use your own name." He says, "I have asked you to do that many times before." And that settled it. I decided to use my own name. Now, let's go back in AA, and let's see what's behind this so-called anonymity tradition. And I think you will find that I did not break the anonymity tradition. The anonymity tradition is number 12. And it says, "Anonymity is a spiritual basis whereby we place principles above personalities." And that's exactly what I did. When I come to judgment before Almighty God, I'm going to have to answer for me. That's basic. You can't get a more basic principle. Not to GSH or to anyone else in or out of AA. There's only one person is going to have to answer for me, and that's me, to Almighty God. So for me, it was a matter of conscience to put principles above personalities and do what in my heart. I was convinced after all these years that Almighty God had let me get kicked around for many years for a purpose. And I'm going to have to answer for that. You know, in the early days of AA, we didn't worry about our own anonymity. Everybody used their own anonymity as they felt like it. I was told you can tell the whole world if you wish. We protect the other fellow's anonymity. But then came along the tacking on to the promotion tradition, number 11, of the words, we keep our anonymity at the level of the public press, movies, and television, unquote. What was that? That was simply pointing out that whoever broke their anonymity at the public level had a bad motivation. He was a promoter. Well, now I ask you, even in the old Roman laws, there was a saying, De internis non judicat praetor, which means even a judge cannot judge the motives of the other individual. So I can remember way back 10, 11, 12 years ago when this first happened, that it was looked upon as a gag rule. So that no one could write a book except somebody in New York City. I'm told also in the traditions that the primary purpose of AA is to carry the message to those who yet suffer. There's nothing in there that says I must carry the message, even in the 12-step, verbally only. I'm to carry the message to other alcoholics with the talents God gave me. And as long as I have Him on my side, I'm not afraid of anybody. And I want the world to know that. The difficulty is, though, we have no rules, you know. But we have the boo-boo boys. Yeah. You know who they are. We ain't got no rules, but we'll say boo. And you run. They've done that in the past, and people have run. But this fellow's not going to run. It's nothing new, you know. So we have no rules, but by innuendos and false assumptions, little distortion of the truth, they will try to force a person to do what they want you to do. I'm going to give you one example. It happened just 48 hours ago in New York City. By a member of the General Service Headquarters at a public meeting was asked, what do you think, what does the Foundation think of Father Fowle's book? The answer was, the Foundation has no opinion. Fine. But if you want to know my personal opinion, it stinks. That's nice. So it is that I feel that what I did was according to my conscience. And therefore, as I said before, I'm the one who's going to have to answer for it, nobody else. And another thing is, it's not easy to write your own story under your own name. I would 1,000 times not have done it. It'd have been fine with me if I could have put another name, not even John Doe down. Because it isn't easy to tell your own story and realize that millions of people are reading it. Then there were other reasons. That was the primary reason. These were contributory reasons. And first, the first contributory reason was that I felt Lillian Roth had been on the cross long enough. Now, I don't know what your opinion of Lillian Roth is, and I'm not saying my opinion. I had 3 hours I spent with Lillian last week. I've been friends with her for many, many years. But I know this, that she was scared out of AA, and she was slandered out of AA by those who put out the rumor that she was drunk, and anybody who tells you that Lillian Roth's drunk is a liar. And I'm here to challenge that statement to anybody. And when it comes down to brass tacks, before the judgment seat of God, I'd rather beat Lillian Roth drunk than the person who puts that rumor around as it has been put around these last 3, 4, or 5 years. There's one big difference, though, between Lillian Roth and me. They ain't going to scare me out of AA. And their tongues can wag till kingdom come. They have been wagging for 10, 14 years. It doesn't make any difference to me. So they can go on and on. But I hope before God and with the help of God's grace that I will continue as He wants me to. Then another reason was some of the literature that came out this past year. One book was named The 12th Step. Now, it was a book put out just about last fall sometime, and supposedly about good AA therapy in a sobering up place. Of course, it could have stood side by side with Confidential magazine, but that's neither here nor there. But on its cover, it had this following statement, quote, "In the past few years, there have been several well-known people who have chosen to disregard the tradition of anonymity by writing autobiographical works. These books have looked at alcoholism more from the viewpoint of an incident in a glamorous life." My glamorous life. "Complete honesty, of course, is impossible in autobiography unless it is anonymous, which makes Augustine and St. Teresa, St. Francis, and all the rest big liars because they used their own name." You know, talking about St. Augustine, when he wrote his Confessions, I bet he got hell. You know, there was an article in the Tidings newspaper here some weeks back. That's the Catholic newspaper in Los Angeles. And it was one of the most beautiful, naive, and innuendo articles on me that I have ever had the privilege of reading. It first makes the statement, "The Look story claimed to have Father Fowle's superior's approval." So in the same vein, I will say that this man claims to be a priest. Of course, you know what that does. It instills doubt in the reader. Now, all he would have had to done was pick up the phone or wire or write my superior, and he would have been told that I definitely had the permission of my archbishop. But anyhow, he makes the statement at the end of this article, and time doesn't allow us to go into it in detail, about St. Augustine, that one person even had the extravagant suggestion that Father Fowle's Confessions might have an influence similar to St. Augustine's, not realizing that Augustine's conflict is over. He is a saint. Well, he wasn't when he wrote the Confessions. I think he can learn a little myself, too. I don't think those Confessions were written after he died. But anyhow, this book came out, and it is the story of 7 people sobering up, and it brings in all the rot that you could ever possibly read in one book. And then it ends, or doesn't end, but it brings in the statement, "But of course their passion was good." brings in prostitution and everything else under the sun, you know. Then another book came out. Now, of course, that book was supposedly according to the AA principles. It was anonymous. It was written by a pseudonym. But I don't think anyone who ever read it that was in AA could possibly see any connection with what went on and what AA stands for. Then another book was No Hiding Place by Mr. Vincent Tracy. Now, I'm not going to take issue with Vincent Tracy except on one point. Mr. Tracy can do anything he wants. But when Mr. Tracy gets up and says that alcoholism is the result of moral degeneracy, then he's insulting me and he's insulting you. If he would want to say that he was a moral degenerate and drank too much and ended up in the Bowery, fine. But when he says that alcoholism is, then he's coming into your home and he's coming into my home. Another article appeared in Today's Health magazine last November, which made light of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, if you want to read it, you can get it. Some library. It was written by, I don't remember who, but the Today's Health has the approval, the American Medical Association. And it, well, practically concluded that AA was just sort of a therapy of a lot of crackpots that did what they did because they liked it and made themselves different from everybody else and wasn't necessary at all. That's but all I got out of it anyway. Then another reason is I have had no anonymity for the past 10 years. That's ridiculous. I was in one town last January, and there on the front page of the newspaper was my picture and underneath Father John Doe. That was anonymity. Then lastly, another reason was that everywhere I went in the last couple of years, I would ask the chairman, "What's new?" "Nothing." "What's new with you?" "Nothing." Nobody had anything to talk about. So I thought, well, it's time to give them something to talk about. Then the story, or the objection, "What if I get drunk?" Well, now I ask you, if the newspaper headlines read, "The founder of AA got drunk," or "Bill W. got drunk," which would be the worst? Hmm? What's in a name? What's in a name? I don't know. I nobody can be so cocksure of themselves as to say, "I'll never again take another drink." But I'm leaving the Lord to take care of that. He's brought me this far, so I'm not in the least worried. And he's brought me against some pretty rough obstacles, too. I can give you a clue. Now, what were the results so far? Not a result. Not the opinion of one person. But what have I gotten from the entire world? I have received over 1,000 letters and over 100 phone calls. And first, in regard to the phone calls, it's amazing to find out how many would be looking for help. And I would suggest AA. And immediately they would say, "Ha! Oh no! I was in that one time, and within 24 hours they had my name all over town." That's the anonymity that we should be much, much more concerned about. Because that is a breach of the divine law of charity. That's the anonymity that AA started with. The anonymity of someone else is sacred. Because I am not to reveal that unless I have his permission. Now the letters I have received a little over 1,000. And amazingly, I only got 9 critical. Of course, some of those were stinkers. So I'm not going to read those. But I'm going to read just a very few, just for your own interest, of those I have received. And first of all, I received letters from 30 members of the hierarchy, 30 bishops, including the apostolic delegate, all favorable. I have received a letter first from Mr. Paul de Kreef, and I have permission for these names I use, who is a doctor of philosophy and quite a well-known writer, and who has written many things about AA, though not being a member, in the Chicago area years and years ago. And he says, "Dear Father Fowle, your pieces in the last two issues of Look magazine are far and away the finest presentation of AA that has ever come to my attention. Please let me congratulate you and your collaborator. The pieces are not only the best I've seen about AA, but among the best half dozen magazine articles I've ever read. This is going to be a milestone in AA's spread and development. Sincerely yours, Paul de Kreef, Ph.D. Then you'll also hear some screwy Catholic sentiment. As I indicated a while ago. So I'm going to read you the gist of a very solid Catholic sentiment as contained in an editorial of America Magazine, which is the official magazine of the Jesuits for the United States. And this was in the 22nd of March issue. And it goes as follows, quote, "For most Catholics, and a good many non-Catholics as well, it is a considerable shock when a priest publicly announces himself as an alcoholic. It is still more of a jolt when he tells his entire story intimately in a widely circulated national periodical. Yet this is precisely what Father Fowle of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis chose to do through the medium of an admirably written, illustrated article in the March 18th issue of Look magazine. Moreover, the article appears with the full approval of the Most Reverend Paul Schulte, Archbishop of Indianapolis. The frank self-revelation of Father Fowle's once tragic helplessness in the grip of a deadly enemy to his priesthood and to his human personality was in itself an act of no small courage. Courage, too, on the part of the Archbishop for sanctioning it. But of much greater significance, it was an act of noble charity. The message of hope that Father Fowle has carried for 10 years through his talks to the members of Alcoholics Anonymous and alcoholics all over the country, and to more than 10,000 alcoholics in personal interviews, will now reach a different and a much wider audience. The Father Fowle story must be read in its entirety for its full weight to be grasped. And it is good that it will be developed in the forthcoming book. He makes extremely clear the function of the AA technique and gives startling insight into what, curiously enough, is the crucial difficulty at issue, the willingness to acknowledge oneself as an alcoholic. Finest of all, he shows the victim's total dependence on the grace of God." Unquote. Then, another bit of criticism has been along the lines, "What will the Protestants say?" Well, funny, I've only received a couple of criticisms from Protestants. And I'm just going to read a couple letters to show you what I mean. One is as follows. "Dear Father Fowle, as a Methodist, I wanted you to know the experience I felt from reading your recent article in Look magazine. Contrary to what many people presume, in my humble opinion, you have done more to enhance your faith and the basic sincerity and trust than anything that has been done in years. Your action indicates the kind of courage and trust in God that has kept Christianity alive over the past centuries. I respect you, sir, and your archbishop, who had the foresight to recognize the value of honesty as a true requisite to a better understanding among people of all creeds in this world. Sincerely yours." And then his name is signed, from East Orange, New Jersey. Another one. "Dear Father Fowle, at this moment my respect and admiration for the Catholic Church is profound. In allowing you to publish the two articles in Look magazine, the Church, through you, has reached into the lives of thousands of people like myself, who, not a Catholic, must confine most of their reading to hurriedly thumbing through popular magazines. I am writing this letter to you partly out of gratitude and partly out of the need to put into writing things that until now I have found impossible to admit even to myself. I thank God your story came to me now and instead of 10 years from now. God bless you and keep you in good health to help others as you have helped me. And then it's signed from Bakersfield, California. Then another type of letter that I got was along the lines that so many articles about a person has been on such a high level of sanctity that they haven't been able to follow it. For example, Dear Father, I have been reading the lives of saints for many years. Those wonderful human beings who have made all their habits good ones. But I have never had one bit of personal encouragement from reading about them. It was simply a great pleasure in which I was permitted to indulge. It wasn't until I read your story in Look that I felt for the first time, ah, there's someone else just like me. There is in this world another human being like me. I am not alone. And I felt encouragement for the first time in my life. I will pray for you too for perfect success in your work. Then another criticism has been, what are the AAs going to say? Well, I'll tell you what one state conference said. I'm only going to quote a small paragraph where I'm speaking next month. We have all read your terrific articles in Look magazine. And I can truthfully say I have not yet to hear any controversy. We would welcome you with open arms and would have the Chamber of Commerce behind us to amend. I trust that your schedule will enable you to be our principal speaker at the conference this year. Then how about friends? So many said, you lose friends. I haven't lost any friends. They said, you'll make enemies. I haven't made any enemies. I just found out who they were. This letter also comes from an AA in California. Dear Ralph, a very close friend of mine, has been in AA for about 13 years. It has taken me some time to get the reactions, thoughts, and ideas of your story in Look magazine. I have talked with members of all the groups in this area, and the verdict is very good, excellent, and the shot in the arm that AA needs. Only one member, in parentheses, he is not an alcoholic, he only drank too much, thought your story was bad. You have made many new friends, believe me, in and out of AA, and in time, your story will help an untold multitude. And then the last letter I'm going to read is one that if I had done nothing else than gotten this letter, I would have been happy. And as you will note from its contents, I can give you neither the place nor the name. It goes as follows. It's dated March the 3rd, 1958. Dear Father Fowle, how can I ever fully thank God for you? Yesterday I was released from the sanitarium, and last night, for the first time in years, I spent a quiet, peaceful night in my own home. And all this I owe to my God and to you. In the evening of February the 20th, I had come to such a point in a mixed-up, confused life of drinking that I had finally decided to end it all by suicide. I, with great deliberateness, went to the drugstore to purchase some cyanide. As I had been told, it was the quickest death, and it was something I could buy without suspicion. Arriving back at the house, I, for some strange reason, looked at the mailbox, which I had ignored for days and days during my drinking. On top of the now full box was a copy of Look magazine. And on its hungover cover page was emblazoned the words, "A priest confesses." I have never had anything pierce me deeply as this. It was almost like a branding iron that reached my very soul. I couldn't ignore it. I had to read it. I am a Catholic, or I should say I ought to be a Catholic. And I took the magazine from the mailbox, leaving all the rest of the mail, went into my house, and began to read without even removing my hat and coat. Father, something happened. It was as if a lifetime of burden and aloneness was lifted. I felt a relief never before known. I read the article 3 times. Then I called my doctor. He advised me to go to the sanitarium for a few days. This I did and returned home only yesterday, looking forward to a new life instead of fearing an old one. I talked with several members of Alcoholics Anonymous while at the sanitarium, and they gave me your address. I know you must be swamped with mail, but if you have just a moment to spare, drop me a line. Believe me, I shall never forget you. I not only dropped her a line, I also called her long distance and had a nice long talk. And today, as far as I know, the last week or two since I've heard from her, she is an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous and on her road back to sanity and happiness instead of insanity and suicide. And I say, if I had no other letter, I would be grateful for the rest of my life that Almighty God had used me to accomplish such a marvelous thing of His grace. And so I repeat the quotation that I read a while ago from the member of AA, who's been in AA for 17 years. Quote, "Yes, Father, you're in for a rough time on publication of your book. But if you are right in your own heart and soul concerning it, if you truly believe that your motives are good, well, then you can take anything. These are matters which each man must fight out in the citadel of his own soul. Criticism is the price the bold must pay to the timid and the mediocre. When are we ever going to acquire sufficient maturity to disagree with a man in particular instances without questioning his motives? When are we going to gain the stature that will enable us to frankly hold diametrically opposed positions with a man in a given situation without wishing to retaliate and hurt him? One would think AA the perfect school for such Christian tolerance, but alas, as well you know, many of the unthinking brethren are stampeded into violent opposition by the fanaticism and the fanatical cries of zealots." Unquote. And I should like to close by adding, when, in the name of God, when are we going to learn that the practice of the law of charity, the divine law of love, is more important, the first commandment, before all other rules, commandments, traditions, or what have you? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and thy whole mind and thy whole soul and thy neighbor as thyself. And never forget, when I point my finger at my neighbor, there's 3 fingers pointing back at me. And may that same God love each and every one of you and keep you for Himself always. God love you all. Thank you.